we'll be talking to Dick Martin about ethical decision-making in strategic communication. Dick is a former executive vice president of public relations and brand management at AT&T, and he's written an excellent book, which some of you have read, on ethics. It's titled Public Relations Ethics, How to Practice PR Without Losing Your Soul. And we're very thrilled to have him here today to talk to us. Welcome, Dick.
Thank you, Denise. Good to be with you.
So I have a couple of questions for you. The first question I have is, this week the students read about ethical decision-making and the process of making a decision, including identifying what the issue is, gathering information, considering alternatives, weighing evidence, and et cetera, the full process of making an ethical decision. So in your opinion, why is it important for professionals today to develop an ethical decision-making process for themselves?
Well, because they're going to have a process. It's just a question of whether it's a well-thought-out and rational process or the product of their gut and whatever external pressures they feel. One of the things we've learned from behavioral science is that all human beings are pretty irrational. We often make decisions impulsively or based on how we feel and based on what Daniel Kahneman called cognitive illusions, things like priming and anchoring bias and confirmation bias and so forth. The other thing that's important to keep in mind is that if you're working in advertising or public relations or any communications field, your day is going to be filled with ethical decisions that you have to make. It's just the nature of the beast. Whenever you're dealing with more than one other person or one other person even, there are ethical decisions involved. And it's very important to be prepared and to know how you're going to make those ethical decisions before you're thrown into the heat of battle. The biggest ethical decisions you have to make, the toughest dilemmas, are going to be very stressful. And if you haven't thought through in advance how to make an ethical decision, you're going to drown. You simply won't know what to do. You'll probably just fall back on the qualities that helped our ancestors survive in the jungle, but really have no place in modern life ethical decision making.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I like in your book, you listed the three qualities that individuals can use to identify and develop sort of this ethical decision-making process. I think it's something developed by Kenneth Andrew about first having competence to recognize ethical issues and to think through the consequences of alternative resolutions, self-confidence to seek out different points of view, and then to decide what is right at a given place and time in a particular set of relationships and circumstances, and then that tough-mindedness, which is the willingness to make that decision, even if you don't know everything that can be known or you're not able to gather all the information. So I think that's really helpful, kind of thinking about the process of making an ethical decision.
Well, one of the things you'll discover, or your students will discover when they get into the position of being a senior public relations counselor or even a senior advertising manager, is that they're never going to have enough information. There's always going to be a drought of information. Mm-hmm. But every scrap of information they have will have gone through a filter in their mind that is full of biases, prejudices, old memories, connotations, associations that really have nothing to do with the reality that they're facing. They're just the elements of our gut instinct. And it's important for them to know ahead of time that that's going to be working on them. And also they're going to be subject to external forces, you know. If I make this decision, what will my boss think? If I make that decision, how much is it going to cost me? You really can't be aware of all those pressures and internal biases and cognitive illusions unless you've thought through a process way ahead of time.
Yeah, that's interesting. And later in the semester, the students are going to read about raising ethical issues and kind of the consequences and the process of that. If you see something, you know, how do you go through the process of saying something and the consequences of that? So I think it's all a really important thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question is, can you share an example of when the process was applied, a process like this was applied, applied well or maybe not well?
Yeah, there are so many, it's hard to choose. The easiest examples are when companies fail to tell the truth or give people misleading information. It's really the biggest reason PR people are widely considered to be professional liars. You know, people think our job is to make the bad look good and the good look better, to present the client's point of view, even if it's not completely true, or dead wrong. Someone who understands ethical decision-making knows that the truth substantially all the information a reasonable person needs to make an intelligent, voluntary decision, whether that decision is to invest in the company, work for it, buy from it, sell it things, or welcome it into your community. Now, it sounds easy, but it really requires a deep understanding of what you're doing and a deep understanding of the position that your customer, your audience, is in. You have to be able to make an honest judgment. Have I given them the information that a reasonable person can base an intelligent, voluntary decision on? Or have I slanted it in such a way that it may lead them to a bad decision for themselves? That's a tough question to answer, particularly when you have a boss or a client who expects you to make the cash register ring. And that's another reason that you have to think these things through well ahead of time before you're in that position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. What advice would you have then for new professionals who are just starting to think more about their ethical responsibilities in the workplace?
Well, they've already taken the first step by taking your course.
Mm-hmm.
I still read about ethical decision making, and I still learn more every single day. So my advice to them is to keep reading, keep studying this. Men have been thinking, unfortunately, it has almost always been men until very recently, have been thinking about ethical decision making, and there are at least four major theories. One is as old as Aristotle, and it's based on thinking about what kind of person you want to be, how you can build a good life, and what in fact good is. The next one was really understanding your duties as a human being. What do you owe other people? Just because they're human and you're human. The third is assessing the consequences of your actions, the results. How does it impact other people? Is it going to produce more good for a great number of people or more bad for an even greater number of people? Is it in the public interest? And then the one that came up with the feminism in the 1960s and 70s is to think about your responsibility to care for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Your responsibility to look at the entirety of a relationship and not to fall back into the typically masculine way of thinking of things as a negotiation and a setting of contracts, but really looking at people in the real world, in real life, and what their real needs are and what responsibility you have for fulfilling those needs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty to think about in this area, and I think it's one of those areas of study where you're never going to be done thinking about it and adjusting your own behavior and your own way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the ethical decision-making process has changed over time? Do you think that there are other elements to consider, other consequences today that might affect the way that ethical decision-making is conducted, or I'll leave it at that. Do you think that some of the changes in technology, changes in our social and communication processes have affected ethical decision-making, or do you think this is the same process that people have always followed to come to an ethical decision?
Well, I don't think Aristotle gave much thought to lying on the internet or setting up phony websites. So in that sense, sure, ethical decision making has changed. As technology changed, we had new opportunities to do things wrongly, I guess, and also new opportunities to do good. But there's another way of looking at it as well. I really believe there is such a thing as absolute truth and absolute good. But I think we as human beings don't necessarily have a perfect understanding of that. And our understanding of the good has gotten better over time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a period when we thought it was perfectly okay to subjugate women and, you know, treat women as if they were not quite property, but, like a friendly pet you like to keep around the house and had to treat well, but really that they were there to do what you wanted them to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of people thought that was a good, that it was not wrong. Mm-hmm. Turns out they were all wrong. And over time, we came to a deeper realization of that. Mm-hmm. Who's to say that 100 years from now, we won't all have come to the conclusion that eating animal flesh is wrong? There are huge parts of the world today who believe that already. I think I'd take the position that in ethical decision-making, you need a very heavy dose of humility. You have to realize that ethical thinking has forward motion. Our job is to run, to try to keep up with it, and to better understand our duties and our rights and the consequences of what we do and what it takes to lead a truly good life. Those are things that I don't think anybody has perfect knowledge of. And I don't know and women will ever have perfect knowledge of it. But we've got to get better at figuring that out.
Right. Yeah. Well, good. Well, I think that's a good place for us to pause, to stop here. Ethical decision-making is the primary focus of this course. And so this is a really important conversation for us to have, a conversation about what's the process of ethical decision making. And I appreciate what you raised about, you know, what can interfere with making a good ethical decision. What are the things that we default to automatically so that we need to examine our process? I think, as you said, we all have processes that we follow when we make decisions, but when we're making a decision that has some of these ethical consequences, it's important to pause and make sure we're following a process that we're choosing and not just defaulting to what we would maybe use for other types of decisions. I know in your book, you give some good examples too of, you know, the ways that people make decisions, kind of the faulty logic that they use as they think about, you know, rationalizing their behaviors and their choices. And so I think that's all really important stuff for communicators to be thinking about, because the consequences of the communication can be broad. And so you want to make sure in choices that we make that we are we're following a process of our choosing and not just a default.
Well said.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for your time today and for enlightening us on this topic.
Terrific. Good being with you. Thanks, Denise.